Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and interview people in the arts. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, teacher, and mentor. Hello, listeners, a new episode of Art Talk after a long summer. Today I want to talk about the isms, because a few months ago I was kind of attacked by an Instagram follower because I expressed my thoughts about a certain artwork. I wasn't rude, by the way, that I did not find as compelling or good as everyone else was singing their glory over. I had very good reasons. It occurred to me that the person had very little knowledge nor about art nor its history, and just blurted something out that she had heard. "Learn a bit about German expressionism, dearie," was her reply. I explained to her what it meant, but it was to deaf ears. Apparently, I wasn't allowed to express what my thoughts were. I had to blindly follow the majority, who were clearly brainwashed by everyone saying it was refreshing, brilliant, and extremely well done. I decided to dedicate an episode of Art Talk Judaisms, because that is what the discussion was about and started with. As art historian, I had to dive into the isms, or the classification system that puts art into a confined area to make it easier for art historians to write about the arts. Artists were always leading, and the labels they got were not positive to begin with. In short, the labels, later isms, had a very negative connotation to start with. Every time artists went ahead and developed another style, it were the people who couldn't catch up that gave them labels to condemn what they were doing. Often art critics, but also academies who demanded a specific way of portraying and topics, refused to let those artists exhibit in their exhibition. We will see that also artists themselves could look with contempt to the art of their predecessors. For example, we all know Impressionism, and that particular label came from a journalist who visited their first exhibition. By 1874, a group of artists had been trying to achieve recognition by submitting their works to the annual Salon exhibition held by the Académie des Beaux-Arts for over a decade. They were sent away because the paintings were not painted in the required style, nor did they answer to the required topics, like history paintings. So this group decided to organize their own exhibition. It was then that a journalist came in, laughed, and wrote in a very demeaning way that those bunch were nothing more than impressionists. Of course, later, art historians started using those isms to box in a certain period and the artist who belonged to that period. In this episode, I want to dive a little bit deeper into the ism that I see is used nowadays by artists themselves. The ism I want to discuss is expressionism. My question is, why would artists use that label for themselves? And are they aware where it comes from and why? Expressionism also was an anti-academic avant-garde movement, as was Impressionism, by the way. And for some, it was a battle cry against Impressionism, looked at with a contempt as the art of the passive display of optical impressions. For others, it was the possibility to provide the transcendent art of all times of a new programmatic label. Others developed, with this knowledge, ideas about the special characteristics of the German culture. And the German culture is a history in itself. So using German expressionism, you need to know what they were about. They didn't feel very high about themselves, and they had a constant battle, also a competition with France. But besides that, a more international movement also arose. Expressionists stepped away from form. You used colors free, and it was also a zeitgeist, as I just said. Artists were not content with the world, with their society. they wanted to go back to a more primitive way of expressing themselves. This part is hardly written or talked about, but it was colonialism that brought artists to this so-called primitive way of express themselves. The thousands of artifacts that were stolen from Africa could be seen in museums. Picasso and Emile Nolde are examples of artists who blatantly used African masks without understanding the purpose or meaning of them. The fact that they wanted to go back to a more free and primitive expression was simply derived from the African artifacts. And with that, we see how they thought about African culture. However, the deeper meaning of the masks, why the people made them, did not even occur to them. It didn't come to mind. Africa was simply seen as a primitive, underdeveloped culture, and definitely not the high civilization the Western world claimed to be. And this is a very white, suprematist, Eurocentric way of thinking and feeling. It was, and still is, looking at other cultures with contempt, and the scent of racism is hanging over it. But let's be honest. The influence of African culture on Western art is huge, and we can easily say, without it, there wouldn't be cubism, expressionism, surrealism, etc. We now finally come to the acknowledgement that all those artifacts in museums do not belong here. Rightfully so, many museums start to give them back. But expressionism is still wildly used by artists. And I ask myself, why? Is that to cover up a lack? Is it because it sounds interesting? And how aware are the people who blindly spit out, learn a bit about German expressionism? Are they aware of the Eurocentric view of the German zeitgeist at the time? The white supremacist thoughts behind this? For art historians, the isms are over. After neo-expressionism, the label stopped. So my question is, why do you, artists, use it? And do you need a label? Think about that. Thank you all for listening. Next week, if everything turns out well, I have a new interview planned. I wish you all a lovely week. And please let me know. Do you have a topic you want me to discuss? Please let me know. Speak to you next week. Bye. I wish you a very peaceful and productive week. And remember, art is the cradle of your soul. Take care.